Hello and welcome to the Silver King's War. I'm Michael Sievers, the writer, producer, and creator of this podcast series about my father's Second World War as a B-26 bombardier. Today we continue in the Silver Fields of Northbrook, a trilogy of plays about the Silver King's life after World War II. We are in the second play entitled Wrigley Days, and this is scene 5, titled The Bears. It's November 1959, less than 1 year from the month when the Silverfields of Northbrook will move to Rockford, Illinois to become the Sievers. But on this early November weekend, the excitement builds for Stanley and Michael, father and son. Stanley and Michael built their bond, father and son, over language, love, and sports. Michael learned that his father had special gifts as a dad, writer, and athlete. What connected them forever in words and memories was Sundays at Wrigley Field, watching the Bears, their monsters of the Midway, with extended family. Stanley and Shirley's respective families had Bears season tickets. On the Silverfield side, Stanley's Aunt Rose was married to Abe Bailey, and Abe and his brother Joe had seats in the temporary right field stands that were built each season after the Cubs finished playing baseball. The Gordons, led by Norman and Phyllis, Shirley's older siblings, shared upper deck seats on the left field sideline with a close friend, Chester Schultz. They sat high enough to see fans scramble for the Duke footballs that sailed over the outfield wall onto Waveland Avenue after extra points and field goals. Throughout the Northbrook years, the telephone rang at Crestwood 23786 at 605 Gregg Road, and it might have a Saturday ring and a relative's voice asking, "Stanley, do you and Michael want to see the Bears tomorrow?" Of course they did, and so these Silverfields sailed to the city and shared bags of corned beef sandwiches and miniatures or cigar tubes filled with blended scotch on crisp, breezy days. They will watch the Green Bay Packers rise with their Heisman Trophy-winning golden boy, Paul Hornung, and the later legendary coach, Vince Lombardi. Between the late 1950s Baltimore Colts, led by their golden arm, Johnny Unitas, and the Packers' 1960 run to daylight, the Bears will win the 1963 NFL title with quarterback Billy Wade and tight end Iron Mike Ditka. These love-of-them-game adventures introduced Michael to the passion and reverence of devoted relatives bundled in winter gear. Packed tight, they hummed with anticipation for their hard-hitting heroes. In his 2019 book about Sid Luckman, titled Tough Luck, Sid Luckman, Murder, Inc., and the Rise of the Modern NFL, the writer R.D. Rosen described his experience of going to Bear games in the 50s. He wrote, "I was lucky enough to go to several Chicago Bear games in the late 1950s and 1960s. Of all the memorable experiences of my childhood, nothing captured my imagination quite like Bears games at Wrigley Field. In those media-deprived days, before home games were even televised, attending a Bears game was a rare glimpse of a special kingdom full of pageantry and armed battle. As my father and I walked up North Sheffield Avenue, the air crackled with the pregame chatter of Jack Brickhouse and his sidekick, the newspaper columnist, color man, Irv Kupcinet, pouring out of hundreds of Sony transistor radios, a new phenomenon. And now we were through the clicking turnstiles and mounting Wrigley's ramps until the scene was revealed in all its glory, the brilliant green turf, the meticulously limed lines, the fans in their seats already unscrewing their thermoses of coffee and nipping from their flasks to stay warm, the ivy on Wrigley's outfield walls turning brown, yellow, and orange, or gone altogether, leaving a spindly network of vines stuck to the brick. Most exciting of all were the Bears players themselves, warming up, military in their navy blue jerseys and helmets and immaculate white pants, immense in their shoulder pads, practicing passes, pinwheeling place kicks, and high revolving punts, running phantom plays under the cold sun, and everything was in saturated color, not the faded hues of our first Zenith color television. This scene begins with a split stage to show two men on the telephone. Norman Gordon is sitting at a desk in his spacious Northside Chicago apartment on Stratford Place. And Stanley Silverfield is standing in the Greg Roadhouse kitchen pouring coffee from a small percolator into his cup. And then the scene converts to a row of four upper deck seats filled with Norman and Phyllis Gordon, Stanley and Michael Silverfield. And Michael steps forward under a single light to read. He's got exciting news to share with the Stearns. And he begins, "Dear Aunt Lucille and Uncle Lester, I'm almost too excited to write. Uncle Norman called this morning with news of bear seats and an invitation to Sunday's game. It's the Packers. Even I know that George Halas and Vince Lombardi are tough coaches. And I've never seen a football game between the Bears and the Packers at Wrigley Field. Dad said that each season they build a temporary stands in the right field and that the north end zone is only 9 yards deep. It's a lot to think about, so I'll close now. We leave early tomorrow morning. I love you, Michael." As the lights go up on this scene, Stanley is answering the phone, and he begins, "Hello? Uncle Norman? At the other end? Stanley, it's Norman. How are you?" "Good, Norman. I hope you're well and everybody's good in the city." Norman responding, "We are fine. Listen, I've got two tickets for tomorrow's Packer game. Can you and Michael join us?" And Stanley, "That's wonderful, Norm. I'm sure we can. Let me make sure right now. Michael?" "Yes, Dad. What's up?" "Uncle Norm's on the phone. He's got seats for the Bears-Packers tomorrow. You want to go?" "Wow, that's great. You bet." And Stanley, "Norm, your nephew shouts his approval. Game on. What time should we be at your apartment?" Norman says, "Be here before 11. Park your car behind the building. Jane will drop us near Wrigley. We'll pack lunch, coffee, and the usual things." "Got it. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for thinking of us. Michael is thrilled. Goodbye." "Goodbye, Stanley. We'll see you tomorrow." Now the scene shifts to Wrigley Field. Norman, Phyllis, and the Silverfields are in their seats, sharing enormous sandwiches from Ricky's Delicatessen on Broadway. Corned beef, mustard on rye. Phyllis is 46, Norman 45, Stanley 34, Michael 9. Michael sits between his aunt and dad. It's minutes to kickoff, and Phyllis begins. "What's new, Michael? I haven't seen you since school started. How's your teacher?" "Fine. She's Miss Davis. She's been at Oakland since it opened." Aunt Phyllis, "Do you like her? Is she challenging you in a good way?" Michael, "Not sure about the like part, Aunt Phil, but she seems to know her stuff, and that helps." And now Norman inquiring, "Michael, ready for your Ricky special? Plenty of mustard on the rye. You'll need napkins." "I am, Uncle Norm. I was too excited to eat breakfast. Dad had toast and coffee." And Stanley, "That's true, but I'm hungry again. I haven't tasted a deep Ricky's since we were in the city before summer." "Thanks, Norm. What's new at Klonic Steel?" Norman, "We're running two rebar shifts. Things are moving fast since Ike signed the Interstate Highway Act. The cement guys can't keep pace with their concrete-making clients. And Stanley, that's good news. Are you adding a third shift? Not yet. What about you, Stan? Well, Abe's approached me about selling for Bailey's. Don't know about another round of family business. And Phyllis, Stan, you're a natural-born salesman. I knew it from the night we met. Your charm is off the charts. I imagine you honed it in Europe. And Stanley, thanks, Phil. We'll see. Now let's get back to our bears. Michael is ready, and the whistle blows. As the lights fall on this scene, the kickoff to the Bears and Packers, Michael stands beneath a single light, and he reads a letter to the Stearns. Dear Aunt Lucille and Uncle Lester, the Bears game was great. They beat the Packers. And Willie Gallimore, my favorite, was incredible. Uncle Norman and Aunt Phyllis have great seats. They're in the upper deck down the left field line over the third base dugout. You should see people flood the streets after a touchdown. Every kick seems to fly over the back wall. I chased that Duke, too. It's an amazing football. Everybody had fun. And I sure hope we get to another game. I love you, Michael. And as the lights go down on this scene, and Michael concludes his letter, we have reached the end of this episode, which is the final scene, scene 5, in the second play of the Silverfields of Northbrook trilogy. This scene, entitled The Bears, is the conclusion of Wrigley Days. And you are listening to the Silver King's War.